the first life-saving boats that I know of, and that's the story of Genesis and Noah and the ark. I want us to read together just a few verses. Genesis chapter 6. It says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.'" It's amazing to me that in 1,500 years, from the day that Adam and Eve were created and they walked with God in paradise, and everything was just as God had hoped that it would be, that in just a short amount of time, as God looks down, what he sees is just total wickedness. He sees that every thought and every inclination of man's heart is just evil. But the thing that I love about this passage is that when you look at it, what is God's emotion? As God looks at these people, it says that he's grieved. He's just incredibly saddened, and it says that his heart is filled with pain. And you know, I want us to understand right off the bat that God is the same forever. And what he feels today as he looks and he sees our messed up lives, when he looks down and he sees the struggles that we have with our own evil thoughts and with the wickedness that we can get trapped in, it makes him sad. It fills his heart with pain. You see, God is just the same. But the other thing that God saw was Noah. And it says that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And I know y'all know the story, and we need to kind of move along this morning, but God gave Noah this incredible mission. And he says to Noah, "Noah, I need you to build this ark. And I need you to build it huge, because I'm going to wipe out all of mankind, and I'm going to kill all the animals, and I'm going to save a few in this boat that you're going to build." And the boat was huge, was it not? Y'all remember the story? 450 feet long. That's like a football field and a half. And 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. I was looking up the dimensions of some of the big boats that we're aware of. That's about half the size of one of the cruise ships that people go on. I mean, this is a humongous, humongous boat. And he's given this challenge to this 500-year-old man to build this boat before all the age of the technology that we would have today, where we'd just call in a bunch of engineers and a bunch of cranes and whip this thing out. And so, as you know, it took Noah 100 years to build this boat. There's some passages in the New Testament that talk about, in fact, 1 Peter 3:20, one of the things that it says is that God waited patiently during the time where Noah was building the boat. But I want you to think about something this morning, and the reason that God was waiting patiently, it wasn't just because he had asked a 500-year-old guy to build a boat that was so huge. God was patient for another reason. You see, think about for a second, why was the boat really that big? I mean, maybe we need Tom Harbin, who's, you know, could share with us, you know, how many animals were in the boat and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of animals that God saved in that boat. But when God gave the instructions to Noah, he said to build three levels and to make separate rooms. And do you ever get the idea that maybe God was having Noah build a boat big enough to carry a bunch of people? I wonder sometimes if the boat was meant to be a way to save more than just Noah and his family. Because there's other passages in the New Testament that talks about how Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and how Noah was trying to call people to repentance. And it says that God was waiting patiently, but only 8 were saved through water. You see, during those 100 years, I think God was hoping that people were going to get a clue that destruction is coming, and the only safe place is to go with Noah on this boat. God wanted to save, but nobody wanted to listen. Nobody wanted to change. And so Noah builds the boat, and Hebrews 11:7 tells us that it was by faith that he built the boat, the ark, to save his family. And I think about his mission, and yeah, he built a great ark, and he did save his family, but probably they didn't save as many as God hoped would be saved. But I think about the mission of Noah, and I want to talk really this morning about the mission of our church, because I believe that the mission of Forest Mill is very similar, and that we are to be a life-saving station. We are to be a place that rescues people, people that are struggling, people that are hurting, people that are lost and confused and hopeless in this world. It's our job to go out and save those people. And the message that we have is really very similar to the message of Moses. I keep calling him Moses. Of Noah. The message of Noah was repent and get in the boat, right? And it says that they were saved through the water. And our message is to repent and turn to God. Repent and be saved through water. Repent and have this relationship and this hope and this life that God intended for you to have. You know, I think about the few weeks that we've been in town, and it's been kind of a whirlwind for us. Our theme today is Mission Possible, and I wonder sometimes, as we look at the last month, is it really possible? Leaving South Carolina and quitting 2 jobs and starting over and trying to sell a house and buying a house and just, I mean, it's just enormous, the changes that have gone on in our lives, and then our kids have their own set of changes they're dealing with. That mission just seems overwhelming at times. But I want to tell you this morning that God is good and God is faithful, and we're so thankful to Him for walking with us in this journey. I don't know if you know or not, but Laurie got a job this past week. She's been hired as a kindergarten teacher at North Coffee Elementary. And that's just, from what I understand, huge in this community to be an outsider and to get a job. And we're thankful to God for opening those doors and working that out. You know, a few weeks ago, we were here on a house hunting trip, and we were able to buy a house. And we have a wonderful house. And that's a God thing. Because no banker in their right mind should have qualified us for a loan. We have, I hope you're not no bankers at Peoples here today, but you know, we still own a home in South Carolina, and y'all are taking good care of us, but you're not paying us that much, you know, to afford these 2 mortgages. But somehow, and I'm going to tell you why in a second, but God blessed us with that, and we were able to have a home here. Last night, as I was, I'm going to get choked up. Whew. Sorry. Last night, I was working on this lesson, final touches. I didn't start last night. But I was looking at the passage that I'm getting ready to show you in a little bit about how amazing and awesome our God is and how He's able to do immeasurably more than we can. Sorry, this wasn't in the notes. So I'm thinking about the awesomeness of God and how he's going to do immeasurably more. And I get a phone call. We got a contract on our house last night. And we're still in the little fine-tuning of the details, but that's just a God thing. And God wanted me to know, I'm with you. You're doing the mission that I called you to do. Press on. And I'm just so thankful that God is so amazing. So back to my notes. Sorry about that. But I wanted to share today just a little bit of a vision that I have for Forest Mill. Because I've been just thinking about the people that I've met here so far. And in the few weeks that we've been in town, we've interacted with a lot of people in this community, and not tons, but one of the things that I've learned already is that this is a body of people that's very loving and very accepting of each other. It's a group of people that I consider you to be a family that is just so genuine and real with each other. And I think that's awesome. And I see you as a group of people that are really focused on doing the will of God and just really seeking his leadership and his guidance. And I'm so impressed by that. And as I've talked to people in the community, I've found that it seems like everybody I talk to knows about Forest Mill Church of Christ, and it's all good. Your reputation in this community is just amazing. And some of you are thinking, yeah, but you haven't talked to my neighbor. Well, you're right. I haven't talked to everybody, okay? But the folks that I know so far, I mean, you guys have a great reputation. And God is glorified because of the work that you've done in people's lives and as a body of believers. And that is just fantastic. So I'm thinking about all these different things this week as I'm wanting to share a vision. And it just kind of dawns on me, so why are there only 250 of us sitting here this morning? And so my vision for us this morning is that in the next 10 years, I want to challenge us to be a church of 1,000. And that sounds pretty bold for the new guy in town. I realize that. And some of you are sitting there thinking, I don't even want to be a part of a church of 1,000. You know, that would cause a lot of changes. That would cause me to not know everybody. Well, guess what? I don't mind saying it because I don't know everybody anyway. So, but I know you do. And it is. It makes us uncomfortable to think of being a group of four of us instead of just this size group. And all the dynamics. But here's the point, and it's not really the number that's so significant. It's the fact that if we had 1,000 people, that would be 1,000 disciples of Jesus Christ. That would be 1,000 people who we've pulled out of this community and helped connect them to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It would be 1,000 people who are part of our team to go out and glorify God, to go out and do his will, not only in this community, but across the world. You see, the reason why I'm excited about bigger numbers is not so that we can have a bigger church and we can be famous because we're a big, big church. It's because I want to see us do the will of God, which is reach out and touch people's lives. You see, the concept of the saving station is that's what they do, is they go out and they reach people and they save people. And so I just threw out some numbers this week, looking at how would we become a church of 1,000. And I did it a couple of different ways. And the reality is, if we were to grow just by 15% a year, in 10 years we would be over 1,000. And 15% is not that big a deal. I think we could do a ton more than that. But 15% would be 37 people this year. Surely we could add 37 people this year. And then it just keeps growing. And the bigger we get, we keep going that 15%. And in 10 years, we're at 1,000 members. But you know what happens when you keep doing that? Some of you that are engineers and math people, you realize, you know how big we are in 20 years? 4,000. Now, I didn't want to blow your minds with that because I knew I'd blow your minds with 1,000 this morning. But the point is this, is if we're doing the will of God and if we're reaching out to save people, to provide them hope, to connect them with Jesus, that's going to be attractive to people in our community. They want that. They need that relationship. And we've just got to be willing to let God use us. Now, you can kind of sit on that a while and realize that we're going to have to talk about that a lot. And this is my vision, and I bounced it off the elders about 10 minutes this morning to say, here's what I'm getting ready to say. Anybody want to throw me out the door now? And they let me get up here this morning. So, but I do want us to be challenged by the future and growth. Challenged by the fact that God wants us to get bigger, not just to be bigger, but he wants us to reach people. So that's enough of my vision. Let me go back to Scripture for a second. Because I want us to look at that verse that I tearfully quoted to you a second ago, Ephesians 3:20. Because this is one of my favorite verses. This is the verse that, to me, takes my vision and my dream and says, That's easy. Because we're doing this for God. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. You see, I just threw out something that I have an imagination about. It's a vision that I have. It's something that I can see us being a church of 1,000. I mean, God is doing this all over the country. I can name you just a whole bunch of churches of 1,000. I know some churches that are 20,000. I mean, it's like God is wanting to draw people into a relationship with him, just like he wanted people to come on the boat with Noah. God is wanting that to happen, and we have to be willing to let him do that. He can do more than we can ask or imagine. So maybe my vision is too small, but I didn't want to seem too foolish this morning, so I just shared you my vision. But I want you to notice how it's going to happen. It says, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, we're not going to become a church of 1,000 because you've got these amazing ministers or you've got these amazing elders. We're going to become a church of 1,000 because we've got a body of believers who is letting God and his power work in our lives. That's what's going to cause it to happen. But let's look at the bigger passage. Go back to Ephesians chapter 16 because this is part of a prayer that Paul's praying for the Ephesians. I'm going to read it from there because I can't see my Bible this morning. Old age is getting me. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice how many times the word power was used in that passage? Go ahead and go back to the beginning. He first says that may we be strengthened with his power in our inner being. So that what? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And he says, and may we have the power to be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You see, the power that God is going to give us is not just going to magically bring in 1,000 people. The power of God is going to work inside of each of our hearts. The power of God is going to change our lives. It's going to help us to just let Christ fill us up. It's going to help us to understand how amazing the love of God really is. The power of God is going to change us. And once we are changed, once we become just full of Christ and full of his love, then 1,000 is too small. Because we're going to share, we're going to tell everybody. We're going to want everybody to experience what we've got. And he's going to give us the power, it says, eventually, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you remember anybody else that was filled with all the fullness of God? It was Jesus. And so this passage here is saying that we can be just like Jesus, that we can have the fullness of God. And that's, to me, the vision, really, that I have for Forest Mill. Yeah, I'd love to see us really impact this community. But really, most important is I want us to be full of God and to become just like Jesus. And when we do that, all my numbers are going to be irrelevant. I hope that you'll accept that challenge, and I hope that we can together talk about how do we do that. I have some homework for you this morning. Let me just share a couple of things with you that I want to challenge you with. Because the other thing that I've found as I've spent a few weeks in town is that there's a lot of people that we've already met who used to go here who don't go here anymore. And I know that you guys know a lot of those people, or all those people. And I want to challenge you with, if you know that there's people that used to be here that aren't going anywhere anymore, call them up. Invite them back. Let's try to reconnect with some of those people. But I know that there's also a lot of people that you know who are really struggling in life, who are part of those people who are just overwhelmed with sin problems, with just life problems, with money problems, with all kinds of things, and they're just lacking hope, and they're lacking a relationship with Jesus. And I want to encourage you to, if you work with those people, if you live with those near those people, start praying for them. And then let's figure out a way to get them here. Let's figure out a way to help them connect with Jesus. So there's two groups of people that I want to challenge you to be thinking about and praying about right now. I want to ask you to share with me your dreams and visions for this church. I want you to be thinking about what I challenged you with this morning and adopt your own dreams. Because God can do more than we all ask or imagine. You see, I'm not the only one who can have a dream. I believe that Jesus lives in each one of you, and that he's going to work in each one of you. And so it's not fair for me to say, here's the vision, because I'm just one, and I'm kind of a new one at that. So I want to hear your dreams and your visions, and I want us to have a dialogue about how are we going to accomplish that? How are we going to do the will of God in this place? And last, I want to ask you to be praying about something. August the 29th, the elders and ministers are going to have a kind of a planning session. And we're going to spend the day together, and we're going to be looking at the present and the future and where we go as a church and how we are going to accomplish this mission. And I want you to be praying about that day and praying about the discussions that we have. And that's why also we would love your input both before and after that session. But in my opinion, and obviously I feel this way because I'm beginning a new ministry here, but I feel like these are important times for the life of Forest Mill. I believe that it's time for us to really decide, are we going to do the will of God? And are we going to be a life-saving station? Or are we just content with being a club of happy people that enjoy being together and just keep status quo as it is? And I know you well enough already to know that that's not where we are. And so let's think about the future. And where does God want us to go? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your awesome power. And yet, I thank you for your personal power in each of our lives. The way that you walk with us and the way that you help us to know that you're present and that you're leading and guiding. And Father, I pray as we join this journey together that you would help us to be constantly seeking your leadership. And I pray that we will be transformed into the image of Jesus, that you will dwell in our hearts, and that we will understand your love, and that we will want to share that with others. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to reach out to people that need you, and that this can be a place that offers them your grace. Thank you so much for helping me to get through this message, and I just pray that it's touched a heart that needed to be touched today. And may we all be challenged to just do your will and let you rule over us. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you need to respond, whether it's just to God and say, God, I need your forgiveness, or whether it's something you just need to share with this family, we encourage you to come and do that while we sing this next song. Please stand.